trapping revisions passed a Skagway Assembly first reading, and Sitka High School students asked the school board to support their efforts in creating a more respectful environment. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. First, we go to Margaret Friedenauer with a recap of last week's Skagway Borough Assembly meeting.
Revisions to a trapping ordinance were discussed and passed a first reading last Thursday during the Skagway Assembly meeting. The revisions to the ordinance come after a state fish and game biologist spoke to the Assembly at a previous meeting. Stephanie Sell told the Assembly that some of the restrictions in the current ordinance overstep the borough's authority since the state oversees hunting and trapping. She said local governments can restrict where trapping is allowed within a borough, but cannot prohibit more specific things like what kind of traps are permitted. The revisions discussed Thursday would pare down the current ordinance to just outlining where, within the borough, trapping is prohibited. It also includes setbacks, meaning how far away from roads and trails traps have to be. That's what much of the discussion and disagreement focused on during the meeting. Assemblyman Tim Cochran said he was still opposed to any local regulations on trapping, suggesting citizens wanting changes to trapping practices should go through the Board of Game process.
Let's keep this easy. If we can't agree, let's have a proposal drafted up, sent to the Fish and Game or the Game Board, and they will make a regulation so we can concentrate our efforts on things that are more important for this community than fighting over how far somebody's going to be able to trap. I'm at a loss. People are arguing. Come on, we're a community. We can work together. Send a proposal to the board game and let them put a regulation in.
Gary Hansen also voted against the changes. The revisions will come back before the Assembly for a second time at the next meeting. The Assembly also heard from engineer Chad Gubala about the progress of the Gateway Port project. Gubala said the drilling and sampling portion of the project was recently completed. The results of those drilling samples from the ore basin will give engineers a better idea of where the contaminated soils are.
At the very least, it's handy. It's in a place we can get at it very quickly. The material is distinguishable from the native material underneath it, and it looks like it'll be relatively easy to deal with, which is all good news. Still have to deal with it, but nonetheless, it should be easy to get at.
Cleaning up the ore basin and terminal area is necessary before the municipality can move ahead with construction on the Gateway project and have the area delisted, meaning all the hazardous waste has been dealt with to the satisfaction of state and federal agencies. Gubala said the sampling showed that because of the depth and types of soils and rock at the site, engineers will have to make sure they design for additional stabilization to protect against earthquakes. Here's how he described the surface and soils of the port area.
But that whole port area, you know, the way you want to consider this is really just like how avalanches occur. Just consider that upland area one big hard pan of ice sitting on something that, you know, can turn slick. And it'll turn slick at, like I said, around a 0.37G shot.
In other Assembly action, the group approved a third year of the Food Garden and Fruit and Nut Tree Planting Initiative, a program that offers subsidies to residents who plant food gardens or trees. And Assemblyman Dan Henry updated the group on the lease negotiations with White Pass. He says there could be a final lease document for the Assembly to consider at its next meeting on February 19th. If White Pass signs the document and if it is then approved by the Assembly, the lease must be approved by Skagway voters before it is finalized.
Petersburg's Port and Harbor Advisory Board is recommending fee increases for boats docking in the harbors. The board voted on the proposed increases at a meeting in late January. Angela Denning was there and has this story.
The increases still must be approved by the Borough Assembly before going into effect, but board members agreed with Harbor Master Glorianne Wallen. The department needs to raise revenue to meet increasing costs at the renovated harbors. The docking fees fall into four main categories: annual permits, semi-annual permits, a transient rate, and permits for using the new drive-down dock. The proposed hikes target boat owners who take their vessels in and out of the harbors. Wallen says they want to encourage year-round permits, which would bring in more revenue.
Because I maintain that we've built a harbor not for part-time use.
Wallen proposed raising the transient rate increase to 65 cents per foot per day, or $6.50 a foot per month. It's now at 50 cents per foot per day. Transient boat owners pay to use the harbor a month at a time. The proposed 65-cent rate increase falls about in the middle of what other harbors in Southeast charge. The board supported the proposed increase unanimously without much discussion. What did stir up some opinions was the proposed creation of a semi-annual moorage rate for boaters who don't have annual permits but keep their boats in longer than most transient permit holders, boat owners who use the harbor between 1 and 6 months at a time. The proposed fee for a semi-annual moorage is $5 per foot per month. That's more per month than the annual rate, but cheaper than the transient rate. Owners of smaller vessels would see more of a hike. For example, for a 42-foot boat, the cost would jump $77 per month, while the fee for a 60-foot boat would raise $50 a month. However, board members thought it was still fair because the smaller vessels haven't seen fees raised in years. The advisory board unanimously supported recommending a semi-annual rate increase to the Borough Assembly. They'll need 3 readings of an ordinance before they take effect. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Sitka High School's student body is hoping to create a more respectful and tolerant environment in the school, and they've taken their plans to the school board. In a joint session last week, Sitka High School's student council and the school board met to discuss a pair of proposals that would confront sexual violence and discrimination head-on. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
There's a study done on 282 adult women in Sitka, and it found that about 47% of them have experienced some form of domestic or sexual violence in their lifetimes here in Sitka.
This is Student Council President and Senior Owen Fulton. He's referring to the Alaska Victimization Survey conducted by the Justice Center at the University of Alaska Anchorage. Women in communities across Alaska were surveyed, including in Sitka. In Sitka and elsewhere around the state, 47 out of every 100 women surveyed reported experiencing intimate partner violence, sexual assault, or both. Fulton presented the school board with a resolution asking the district to adopt the Coaching Boys into Men program in partnership with Sitka's domestic violence shelter.
Ideally, if Coaching Boys into Men were to be implemented in the Sitka school district, we'd see it at Sitka High School, maybe even Blatchley. And it works with male athletic organizations by providing them kind of almost like a training session or a seminar that the coach leads. And they talk about issues of domestic abuse, relationship violence, sexual violence, and how to deal with those situations.
How did the idea get started in student government?
So I had heard about the program before. It has been implemented in Juneau already with a tremendous amount of success, but it was formally addressed to the student council, and the idea was given to us by the Safe Shelter.
Are there behaviors among boys that are of concern to the council?
In my high school career, I've certainly seen it, and I'm sure others have too.
And it's not just behaviors between genders that disturb student government. Sophomore Council Representative Julia Middleton asked the board to restore Challenge Day. When students confront inequities across the social spectrum, gender, gender identity, race, sexual orientation, and family economics.
We have a huge problem in our school with the way kids treat each other. Challenge Day it's normally spread out over a couple of days where they have exercises with the kids, and you get to see people who are having similar issues to your own, and you get to see the same people you see every day in a different light, and you relate more to them.
There hasn't been a Challenge Day in Sitka High since this year's seniors were freshmen. Council members who experienced it told the board that the climate in the school changed almost overnight. Middleton admitted that the program was expensive, about $3,000, but she hoped that the district would set up another Challenge Day as early as the beginning of next school year. Sitka School Board Clerk Tim Fulton, responding for the board, said he thought it was important that every student experience Challenge Day at least once in his or her high school career. He didn't know where the funding would come from for the event next year, but, quote, maybe that's where we can work together on fundraising, close quote. The board also responded favorably to coaching boys and to men. Superintendent Mary Wegner said that there were grants and other supports in place that could help make it a reality. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.